Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your host tonight, Alan, and Elaine, myself. Tonight, for the first half of the show, we'll be talking to Dom Aegis in London, who's just won the GlaxoSmithKline photography competition in England, entitled HIV Positive About the Future. His picture conveys love, understanding and acceptance, wherever you come from, whoever you are, so stay tuned for that. In the second half, we'll also be talking about what it means to live in a multicultural society, and we'd like to hear from you about what you think a multicultural society represents. So email us again at onhair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427 Joy 949. Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your host tonight, Hugh, Alan, and myself.
Hello, Elaine. How are you?
I'm good.
It's
I'm
good.
Back.
This is the first time that you and I have worked together since you
since I went into rehab for 6 months in Brisbane.
Well,
that's what I call it anyway.
You can call it rehab. Anyway, we've got an interesting guest that you've organised tonight.
We have Dom Aegis, who's in London, and it's a little bit early for him. I know it's about 8 o'clock. Dom, are you here with us?
I am there. Yeah. Hi.
Hi. How are you? Welcome.
Good morning, guys. Yeah.
Hello, Dom. Hey. Sorry, we've got you out of bed. It's, what, 9 o'clock in the morning, is it over there?
No.
It's 10 past 8.
10 past 8? Oh,
right. It's a real early morning call.
Anyway, thanks for being with us, Dom. Dom, we're going to talk a little bit about you today. Obviously, it's all about you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Just the way you like it. And so we're here. Anyway,
you know my reputation.
Dom is a photographer, a DJ, a music producer, and he's just won a prize for the GlaxoSmithKline photography competition in England, which was entitled HIV Positive About the Future. We'll talk about this in a minute, but first of all, Dom, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing.
I was born in England in 1969, and I'm the oldest of five kids. My parents took us all over to East Africa with their work, so I mean, I've grown up around the world. They lived over there for 20 years.
Which country in Africa did you...?
Tanzania, in East Africa.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then returned to England for my education, and I studied textile design at college, at art school. I've been a music journalist, and then through... I mean, as these have gone on, instead of... I moved from writing about music to actually making it.
Yeah.
We've done... My husband and I, Mick, have been together 17 years last Saturday. And in that time we've sort of done Twisted House under the name of Sugar Pussy, and
right,
done remixes for people like Boy George and the Human League. We had a fairly good following in Sydney and Melbourne back in sort of late 90s.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your connection was with Australia, because I believe your first photography exhibition was in Melbourne, wasn't it?
Indeed it was. It was hosted by the gorgeous Andrea Gilby.
Who we had on the show here about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, she's a beautiful and dear and very naughty friend of mine. I always joke that she's my twin sister, but she basically hosted my first exhibition in Melbourne, which was called Burleigh-esque.
And why Australia for your first exhibition? Was there any particular reason?
There's always been a sensibility, especially about sort of, about Melbourne, which has particularly sort of resonated with me. It has a warmth and a humour and a wit. It's a very inclusive town. It's as simple as that.
Yes, and I'd like to touch on that a minute, because the show, as you know, is about multiculturalism, and
yeah,
Melbourne is held as a very multicultural city. You live in London, which is also extremely multicultural.
Yeah.
And you've been brought up in different countries around the world and in Africa.
Yeah.
What's your concept of multiculturalism?
Just as a person, I don't ever believe in excluding people. To me, all of life is about people of all classes, ages, races, sexualities getting on together. I don't believe in ghettos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I come from, if not a rich family, a sort of a family who have a... I don't want to get into a conversation about class, but, you know, I went
a
to...
privileged background.
It would have been very easy to turn into, you know, a middle-class moron who went through the army and the city,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, got married and had 3.2 kids.
So what happened to you then?
Firstly, I realised I was gay.
And when was that? Were you in Africa when that happened? When you realised?
I've got no way before. I had the first inklings when I was about 8 or 9. I didn't do anything about it until I was 21. It was just something that was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about being 39 is that actually I'm now in a place where it has its place in my life, along with everything else that makes me up. You know, like I said, the photography, the art, my husband Mick, my friends. I don't ever really like to be pinned down to one genre, whether it be music or art, because there's too much fun to be had doing all of them.
What age, it's Alan Dom, at what age were you when you were in Africa? At what age span?
We first went out there in 1980 when I was 11.
Oh.
So quite a crucial age to be uprooted and sort of taken away from all the things that you kind of find familiar.
Sorry.
I mean, the irony is that I'm now sort of probably more happy in departure lounges and on planes. Even now, I still get excited by travelling.
Yeah. Sorry, we had a little bit of feedback there for a moment, and I missed that. What age did you say?
We were 11 I was 11 when we first went abroad.
And were you aware of sexuality when you were in Africa? I guess where I'm coming from here is, what was it like in a country like Tanzania or and other places?
Completely undiscussed. I mean, I don't know about... I went to a kind of fairly barbaric prep school in Kenya for 1 year where, you know, even to admit to any kind of weakness or gentleness was a crime, let alone that, you know, loving people of the same sex. I mean, in Africa especially, it just wasn't even discussed.
And is it something that you would have discussed with your parents at all?
I mean, I didn't come out to my parents until I was 21.
And you were in England by then?
We would come back with support from England. I mean, I told them when we were in England on leave 1 year, and it was tough. I mean, they're fairly, I'm not going to say strict Catholics, but they both come from Catholic families. We were brought up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not a fashionable view, I still believe in certain tenets of the Catholic Church, as I do believe in all religions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was brought up a Catholic, but I believe that all religions essentially share the same, rules of loving other men. It's when it gets into the rules which are instilled by, by popes and religious leaders that things start to get a bit messy.
Yeah. And what about the influence on your work of your upbringing in Africa? Did you take anything away from that?
I think if there's one thing that affects or is inherent in all my shots is that there is beauty or interest in everything. It's one of my sort of most repeated lines, but I always want every one of my shots or every one of my better shots for whoever's looking at it. To wonder, I want it to be like a shot from a film. I want whoever looks at it to wonder what happened before, what happened after. So that it kind of, you're drawn into the universe of the photo. And if anybody feels that looking at one of my photos, then I've achieved everything.
And if people want to look at your photos, they can log on to the net and to your website, which is...
That's what you have. I've got a couple of, two or three websites. But for photography, you've got domagus.com, which is the... domagius.com, and then also I've got a MySpace site as well, which is linked.
Which is myspace.com/domagius.
That's right.
Okay, this is Orange Ribbon. You're with Alan, Hugh and Aline tonight, and we'll be back speaking with Dom in just a moment.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Tonight we're talking to Dom Agius, a photographer who's in London, and it's 8:15. No, sorry, it's about 8:25 in London in the morning. Thanks, Dom, for being with us again. We were talking about your upbringing earlier on. Can you hear us?
Okay, absolutely. Yeah.
You can. Okay, I can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Now, moving on to the prize you just won, tell us a little bit about... we're talking about a picture on the radio, so...
Yes, you need to explain it to our listeners.
You're probably the best person. We've got it here. We're looking at it. It's a beautiful shot. Just tell us a little bit about it.
It's a shot of my husband, Mick's back. A blue sky, his shoulders against the blue sky, with a tattoo that he had maybe 4 or 5 years ago, which reads, "To be in England in the summertime," with a large sort of English Tudor rose next to it. This was a shot that I took, maybe 3 weeks after I first got my camera.
When was that?
This was 2003, September 2003.
Are you telling us that you've only started taking photos since 2003, or were you taking them before?
Absolutely. I got my camera in the August, and it's been one of the great love affairs of my life.
My goodness.
Suddenly I had an extra eye, an extra hand to kind of capture all the things that I'd always seen. I took this photo within two, three weeks of getting the camera. And it's always one that people have reacted to and has resonated with all sorts of people. I didn't forget about it. It's always been there. But when I read about the GlaxoSmithKline HIV positive about the future photo competition, because what they wanted were images which gave people a positive view of having an HIV positive diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity was that whoever won the competition got to give 5,000 English pounds to the charity of their choice. So I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose, and entered it.
And can you describe to our listeners, it's a back, but can you describe a little bit more detail what we are looking at here in the studio?
It's a back with a head sort of with his head sort of turned down to one side, and then the tattoo right across the shoulders, saying "to be in England in the summertime with the one I love," which I believe is a line from Shakespeare, although I may be mistaken.
I'm not very well up on my Shakespeare, I'm sorry.
and the judge, I like the comment that the judge made about your picture. He said, "The simplicity of the winning image and the sentiments expressed made it very compelling and the clear winner." And when you look at that picture, it is a compelling picture.
Well, the thing was, when I submitted the shot, you had to give a short paragraph as to... what it meant to you, in the short paragraph, I wrote that when Mick and I met in 1991, we discovered he was HIV positive a month after we met. Mm-hmm. We both went and got tested because we realised that we loved each other, and we hoped that this was going to be the one. And at that time, there weren't the triple combinations, there weren't the treatments. Mm-hmm. And in the first 5 years we were together, we must have lost half a dozen friends, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't really think that you were going to be together that long?
It was a real threat. And we didn't think we'd have the luxury of reaching our 10th anniversary or any further. And, when you're living like that, it does give every day a real urgency and poignancy. You have no time to waste.
Hmm.
And so we didn't think we'd get to 10 years, let alone 15, 16, 17.
And you just celebrated your anniversary just this
right,
week,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, Tom, it's interesting, the stories, because on this very program only 2 or 3 weeks ago we had an interview with a Chinese guy who's been positive for 21 years, and likewise he basically wanted to live life for the first 3 or 4 years because it was considered to be a death sentence, and then he realised 10 years down the track, hey, hang on, I'm still around, maybe there's life after all, and so his attitude to life changed completely.
This is it. I think there's a real trap, especially in... I can't speak for Australia, but in London, where the benefit culture is fairly well-structured for people to, when they get a positive diagnosis, you know, at one point they could get accommodation drug, you know, the antiretroviral drugs, and they would go on these sort of, you know, all, you know, week-long benders on, you know, Crystal and Coke and, you know, E and whatever. And it's not a judgment call on how anybody lives their life. But I think there was that feeling of, well, I'm going to die anyway, I might as well go down dancing. Of course, now people are living, and, you know, and less, considerably less people are dying because of these drugs, you know, which we're lucky enough to have in the West, you know, and that's where there's a real dichotomy, especially having been in Africa where, you know, we lost so many friends and, you know, and friends' children to AIDS because they didn't have the drugs that we could afford over here.
That's right, yes. Now, Dom, if anyone wants to have a look at your picture...
go to, again, the shot is at domagus.com. That's domagius.com.
Okay, so check out that website.
Okay. Excellent. Well, that's been a very interesting chat. And you're settled in London. Do you see taking up photography as a... I assume it's not a full-time career for you at the moment. Is that likely to be?
Not at the moment. I mean, like I said, I flip between music production, photography, DJing. I'm a bit of a jack-of-all-trades, really.
And Dom actually DJed at Blondes on the Rocks, which is the Melbourne girl night every month.
That's right.
And was it in June? I missed that one,
June.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
no.
And
that might be one of the best nights I've ever had.
Well, the girls loved it.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, Dom, well, thank you very much for taking time out at 8:30 in the morning in London to have this chat to us. I very much appreciate it. Thanks very much for chatting
to us. Thanks a lot, Dom.
Okay,
thank
you. Goodbye.
Bye.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Orange Ribbon with Alan, Hugh and Aline, and we've just been speaking to Dom in London. And for the rest of the program, we want to have a sort of a general round table chat, if you like, a little bit about Orange Ribbon and why we're involved in Orange Ribbon. I thought it might be interesting to start off with, for those who perhaps do not know, a very quick thumbnail sketch of the history of Orange Ribbon. For those perhaps are more recent listeners, Orange Ribbon started in 1998 by Shantan Chang, who's no longer with us on the program, and Kim Benton. And they were the original founders of the program. And I, Alan, joined them 1 year later in 1999, which means I've been around for more lucky years than I care to remember. And so the program has continued with a few off-air breaks in the subsequent 10 years. A lot of people keep asking me where did the name come from? Well, we attribute the name Orange Ribbon to Shantan Chang, who at the time, I think he was president or one of the committee members of the Overseas Students Association here in Australia. And it was during the height of the Pauline Hanson era. And I think it was Flinders University decided to have a multicultural week, and they were looking for a theme and a symbol for to promote their multicultural week. And there was a red ribbon and a yellow ribbon and a white ribbon and a pink ribbon for various things, but there was no orange ribbon, so they decided to have an orange ribbon as their symbol. The next year, a couple of other universities picked up the theme, and this was the time when Orange Ribbon program started, and Shantan came up with the idea of, well, why don't we call it Orange Ribbon? And as a result, Orange Ribbon program continued with the name Orange Ribbon, and that subsequently, this multicultural week in the universities spread throughout Australia. The interesting thing is that in more recent times, under our Conservative, former Liberal National Party government, the government decided to start an annual multicultural day, which they called Harmony Day. I think this started about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's in, I think, February every year. And guess what symbol they decided to adopt for Harmony Day, Multicultural Day, is the Orange Ribbon. So I guess as a program, we've been using the name well before it was well recognised as a symbol to represent multiculturalism around Australia. So that's the sort of a thumbnail sketch of Orange Ribbon. We try to present topics of interest to people from various backgrounds. I think one of the criticisms that we've had thrown at us over recent times is that it's primarily been Asian-focused, and the dilemma about that is that it's whatever context that we've got that we can drag into the studio for a chat. Hugh, you've got other contacts, of course, yeah, and been able to bring some other ones in more recent time, and now we've got Aline here, so she can bring in, like, Dom from London, for example, and whatever. But that's one of the things. Why, Hugh, are you involved in Orange Ribbon? What attracted you? Why did you want to get involved?
Orange Ribbon to me was, I always listened to it every Wednesday, and I always thought it was a great show, because it brings together all the different nationalities, and the presenters are all different nationalities as well, which is really great, you know, and it's a good mix of people who present the show. And the interesting thing is, well, what I learned once I looked into the show, and probably there's a lot of people sitting out there who don't realise this, we don't have a producer for the show.
We do everything.
Yeah, we are the producer. So
we're the producer. We've got producer assistants out there, all the people helping us out, finding
guests
and finding music, and I can think of a few right now actually listening.
But every single show that we do is produced by one of the presenters on the show. So we spend a lot of time in between shows meeting people, and which is great, talking to them and interviewing them before the show. And that's the important thing, because we get their story. And, you know, the first thing that people say to me is, I don't have a story.
Everybody says that, and that they don't believe that they could have something interesting to say.
Well, that's right. I mean, how do you find it, Aline, when you speak to people?
Look, everyone has a story, but I find that it's probably the easiest story to relate to people yourself. It's just the easiest thing to do.
People open up to us, and you sit down and start talking to them, and before 5 minutes is over, you've got everything that they did when they were a child, and you know everything about their mum and dad and their sister. And I think it's actually wonderful that these people actually open up to us so much. Unfortunately, we can't put everything into the show, and it's only a one-hour show.
One of the interesting points, because you get people who say, oh, but I haven't got anything much to say, I don't really have a story, and yet when you finally get them into the studio and they agree to have a chat with you, that hour goes by incredibly quickly, and then they say, oh, is it over already, and we haven't even covered half the topics that we wanted to cover.
Everyone says that, everyone. I mean, we've had many different characters in the studio.
Absolutely, and when we talk about multiculturalism, we tend to think, well, when I joined the program, I tend to think, oh, we need to have somebody from somewhere else, where it's just, it's not necessarily multiculturalism. It's, you know, it can be from somewhere else, but it can be someone who's, have a different upbringing, whether it's religion-based,
right,
or whether it's another aspect of your life that's different, and that's all part of the culture. So it's not just necessarily you have to be from a foreign country, from a different country, to have that sort of multicultural aspect.
One of the questions people ask me when I say to them, you know, would you consider come on the show and give us your story, is, Why do you want to know someone's story? And one of the first things that ever always comes to mind is that we need people to come in and speak to us and give us their story, because there's so many people out there who maybe don't know they're gay or are in the closet.
And not only that, but we live in a country here which is such a huge area, and there's so many isolated people out there,
right,
that some a radio station or a newspaper can do so much for these people, because that can be the only point of contact that they will ever had. I mean, I have friends who live in Sydney now, but who were brought up in tiny little places where, you know, finding that newspaper or that radio station was a lifeline to them. Anyway, we've got an email from CK from Manchester, who's obviously listening and up and early, who says, great show, guys, more world music, please.
We're trying.
and she has a comment about multiculturalism and what it means to her. And she says, multiculturalism to me represents a positive acceptance, not a negative tolerance.
There you go.
And it should be a harmonious blend of every culture, ethnicity, sexuality and religion in an environment where we can learn from each other and accept that none of us are perfect. to truly exist as a multicultural society, we would no longer be living in segregated ghettos, as your guest Dom said, but in integrated society where we happily coexist. That is CK from Manchester.
Let's take a break. This is Orange Ruin with Alan, Aline and Hugh.
Joy 94.9, a different kind of radio.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon with Aline, Alan and Hugh. And Aline, you're selecting the music tonight.
I know.
Was that?
I went for a little bit of world music, because I love my world music, and usually every year go to the Adelaide World Music Festival, which is a great...
WOMAD.
WOMAD, yes.
And we don't always get to pick the music, do we?
No, that's right. Usually our guests do.
That's right.
So tonight I went for a little bit of a melting pot of different countries, and we had... the first track that we played was Habibi from Arabian Nights. This is Serge Gainsbourg, who's now no longer with us, but a very famous French... singer who sang with Jane, who was married to Jane Birkin, if anyone remembers, from the UK, very famous French actress. Right? You don't
I'm
remember
shaking my head,
so
yeah.
You get, Je t'aime moi non plus, that was the track.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes?
Yes.
In the 60s or
we
the
just
70s.
Have to remind all the listeners that Aline is French. So this is why.
Just in case you hadn't worked.
You don't have a French accent.
I don't have a French accent. I can try to put it on. Last time I tried to put on the French accent, someone told me that I sounded Indian, which was interesting. So I can't even put it on anymore. I just have some sort of weird accent.
I'm sure I've asked you this because you were actually an interview guest. I think your introduction to the program was as an interview guest, if I remember correctly. And I can't remember whether we asked you this question, but do you not speak French anymore?
Hardly. I speak French to my parents.
Well, that's
obviously, because they don't speak anything else. So we don't communicate very well, but at least, you know, we speak the same language. But now in Australia, when I was in London, I used to work in French. So there's a much bigger French community over there, obviously. But since I've been here, I hardly speak it.
So what do you think in?
What do I think in? That's always a good question to ask to bilinguals. I think in most of the time in English. When I'm at home, I'll think in French.
Do you really?
Yeah,
so
but it depends. Yeah, it depends. And sometimes I dream in French, and I can dream in English. It depends who's involved. Sometimes I have conversations with people, and I can't remember whether they were speaking French or English, because you just get the meaning, but you forget what. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but it usually happens if I'm in France and I've been talking to. But
do you find being bilingual or anybody who's multilingual that you'll mix the words from one language into the other language because there are certain words or phrases that get the message across easier in one language?
Well, you've got what's called a faux ami in English as well, which basically is a word like actually. Actually, if you translate it literally in French, it's actuellement, but it means totally two different things.
Yeah.
So there's sort of things that can happen when you speak two languages, not perfectly, but close to.
Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about Orange Ribbon.
Yeah, not about me. Although
it's all about
that's fine.
Me.
We should point out, for those who keep track of these things, Orange Ribbon has been, as I said earlier, has been going for 10.5 years, and this is program edition tonight, number 348, 348 program editions we've done so far, as far as we can work out according to our logs. And a couple of other things that people should be aware of that maybe you are not, and you can either get it from the Joy website, or usually get it from the Joy website, as all of the programs here, including Orange Ribbon, has its own blog, and we also podcast all of the most recent programs. So you can just click on blogs or click on podcasts. Did I say blog? Podcast.
Click on blog. blog.com.au.
Click on the podcast icon on the Joy website and then select Orange Ribbon, and then you've got, I think, all our programs going back to about May or June, if I remember rightly, are there at the moment. Mm. So you can always go and listen to an earlier program, and the details of what those programs are actually there for you to see as well, so you can select the ones that are of interest. And it's interesting, the people who send us messages from time to time. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a message from one of our Chinese listeners who is from mainland China, and he was slightly concerned that We had had a concentration of Hong Kong-based Chinese interviews over recent times, which was true, as a perfectly valid comment, criticism if you want, and we don't do very much or anything on mainland China. Well, yes, in the last 6 months, I can't remember that we have. In the past, we have, but the problem we have is trying to find people who are prepared to come on air.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that we have the people that we have is because we've met these people and they've agreed to come on the show, but not everyone wants to come on a radio show and talk about their life, because I suppose really they're bare narrow to the whole of Melbourne and all over the world, basically, really.
Well, particularly people from other cultures, because it's a lot more difficult.
But I think we should remind anyone out there who would like to come on the show that, you know, they can come on the show and be whoever they want to be and talk about their life. We don't have to disclose any information about their surname, their first name. Or
exactly. I mean, but we can give you an email address. And if you have a multicultural background and...
Or you were involved in multicultural activities of some kind or another.
And are willing to come on the show and talk to us, the email address is orangeribbon@joy.org.au. Address it to anybody you would like, because there's Aline, there's Alan, there's Hugh and Kafam. We're all presenters. If you can identify with one of us, then address it to us. And we're
and happy. Any French people out there, whoever they are,
I just want some Scottish people. Any Scottish people out there, come on, come forward.
But it's interesting, one of the comments I was going to make earlier, because Aline touched on it before, was when we're talking about multiculturalism, it's not just your culture in terms of nationality or ethnicity. Religion came into it as well. And we're always interested to discuss with people on air, people who come from somewhat unusual religious backgrounds, such as Pentecostals, Mormons, SDA, Seventh-day Adventists, and so on. So somebody who maybe has come from a particularly religious background, who has come out or is gay or lesbian and would like to have a chat. So you don't necessarily have to have an ethnically different background, but maybe a religiously different background, because we treat that as culture as well.
We're very open-minded here. We speak to everyone. We've had street workers. We've had everything on the show. You can also call Nick on reception. Now, if you don't have email, call Nick, 96992949, and give Nick your name and telephone number, and one of us can call you back. If you want to leave it till after 8 o'clock, all of us will be here to roughly 10 past 8. If you want to give us a call, we can take your call and speak to you. Or, as I say, call back 96992949.
What about, I guess, for you two, that's Hugh and Aline, you've, both of you, Hugh, you've, what, about a year, I suppose?
I'm a year now.
Yes, Aline is almost a year, except that you were away for 6 months, so I guess we can't get quite that.
But are there any highlights?
Are there any highlights or something that stands out, a particular program or a particular thing that stands out in your mind that's occurred?
I particularly enjoyed the program that we had with Andrea from Manchester. We had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
She was great fun. Mm. She's a good friend of Dom, actually, who we just spoke to. His twin sister, apparently. And she has an interesting background. She had she grew up in a Pentecostal Christian environment, so a strict religious background. She worked as a lesbian escort for a while. She's been working for the gay press quite a bit in Australia. We had a good...
We had a good time. I think the nice thing about the show, and I don't know if this happens with everyone, but I have got so many friends now that I know, and I get invited to so many different parties. It's great. I'm going to a Bollywood party on Saturday.
A Bollywood party?
Yes, it's a birthday party. It's Rick. Oh, okay. Rick was actually a guest on the show early in the year, and he's having his birthday party on Saturday. Happy birthday, Rick. I think it's actually your birthday yesterday or today. Can't remember.
Well, what was your... I'll start out with you, Hugh. What was your first involvement with Joy Orange Ribbon, or were you doing other work at Joy before?
I actually started at Joy probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago. And I started doing the front desk, answering the phone. I still do it every Sunday morning between 11 and 12. 11 and 1. So that's how I started in Joy. Somehow I fell into doing a show with Kafam and I. We did a show one Sunday on Spain. And then we did another show a few Sundays later on Scotland, which was really, really good. We had a good feedback, made a good laugh. And that's how I got into presenting as well. So it sort of went from there, and then eventually I came to Orange Ribbon.
And we should also point out that tonight is your coming out in another way, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes.
For the first time.
I'm driving.
Hugh is pushing the buttons tonight.
And I'd like to say that my involvement with Joy started. Do you know where it started?
No, tell us.
At the market.
The market?
At the market.
How did it start?
Everyone knows the market.
Yeah. Oh, that market. Yeah,
that
yeah.
That market. Mm-hmm. I was on the podium, as I usually am, on a Saturday night, late. Quite happy, dancing away.
I think she's advertising that.
No advertising. I was at the market, and then someone said, do you want to be on the show? And I said, yes, and I couldn't remember anything after that. And then I got a text saying, you're coming on the show on Wednesday night.
Goodness gracious.
And so I was on the show, and I was a guest on the show. And
then you turned up to join the team.
And I didn't want to leave.
Yeah, a bit later. That's
it's
great.
It's a bit like that, isn't it? It's been a big happy family.
And we should also point out, one of the things that perhaps we should have mentioned earlier is the team over the last couple of, certainly over the last year, has been you two, Aline, Hugh and myself, and Kafam, who's Indian-born Chinese, and Ash. Ash has actually has taken extended leave, and in fact he's decided to take a break from the program for a while. So if there's anybody out there who perhaps would like to be involved in the program and believe that you've got to ideally have some sort of a different cultural background, but that's not mandatory, and you'd like to be involved in the program, either behind the scenes or even on air, again, send us an email and we can take it up and follow it.
Alan, I'll just give the email address again if I can. It's orangeribbon@joy.org.au or call Nick 96992949.
And if there's any topics, if you think it's got some suggestions for the program, send us an email again with some suggestions or topics that perhaps we might cover, because one of the things that we don't necessarily have to be interviewing somebody about a coming out story from an ethnically different background, but something interesting, a topic, could be a topic that we could have a roundtable discussion. By all means, send us an email and give us some suggestions.
And you could be sitting here with Aline, Allen and myself.
We could even be doing that.
Yes.
Maybe we could do a show in a foreign language.
Which foreign language would you suggest?
Yeah. French?
Je parle un peu français, un petit peu.
Okay. Good one, Aline.
But anyway, we're just about getting out of time, so maybe we wind up for now. So let's call it quits then for now. Thanks very much for listening to us. And
that's Orange Ribbon for another week. Our special thanks to our guest in London, Dom.
Thanks, Dom.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Joy is Simon and Paul with Global Sounds.
Thanks for joining us on Orange Ribbon tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insight into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thank you, Nick, on reception for his help tonight. So from now, from all of us at Orange Ribbon, good night.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.